Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we really thought that we'd have some stuff figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
We definitely do not.
We do not, but we're getting better.
We are, and today we're going to stop and ask for directions from our dear friend, Ilse. Candace, you've known her for how long?
I've known Ilse Juber since we were 17 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I've known her for more than half of our lives, which is so, well, almost. Geez, I'm like, how old am I again? We've known each other forever. Ilse is a dear friend. She's also an incredible songwriter. She's worked with many artists that you guys have heard of.
The list of people that she's worked with could go on forever. I think my favorite is probably Beyonce on her Lemonade record.
Beyonce
is a brand new artist, Jack. You may have heard of her. Ilse is a very impressive woman and has a lot of life advice. She has been playing music ever since she was a teenager, and she's finally like hitting her stride and is a great reminder that we all have our own path.
Oh, you guys. And I mean, her stories that she has are incredible. So make sure you listen to this all the way through. I mean, she's just such an inspiring person to be around.
I was nervous recording this episode. We haven't recorded an episode of Directionally Challenged since October of 2018. Mm-hmm. So this is our first episode of 2019. Hey,
so excited to be back, guys.
We're back, baby.
I know. Jack, we haven't seen you since we were all drunk at my Christmas party.
That's right. That's right.
Candace,
that was really fun.
It was.
It was like the best Christmas party ever.
It was. It was halfway through when you guys surprised all of us with a mariachi band playing Feliz Navidad parading through your house.
Yeah. And it was like a proper mariachi band.
Oh, for sure.
Isn't that normal for a Christmas party?
Stop it.
No?
Santa Claus was here.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah, we had to pull some strings for that one.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, it's his busy season.
He's very busy.
I don't know how
very,
you managed it.
Very busy.
He also had a great singing voice and joined us with singing Christmas carols. He was almost an opera singing Santa.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Joe and I really went for it for our Christmas party. So when Joe and I got married, we had three bands for our wedding. Three bands.
Normal.
It was a nighttime wedding.
Wow.
It wasn't like an all-day wedding. It was just one singular night.
And so what did you do when the bands were like changing out?
Oh, it was perfectly choreographed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We actually four if you count Trombone Shorty. He played while I walked down the aisle.
No, we count Trombone Shorty, yeah. Of course.
And then we had a second line band lead us around.
Oh, wow. Was it in New Orleans?
Yeah, we got married awesome. In New Orleans. And then we had Meshuggah Lake play for our cocktail, and then we had like DJs, and then another pianist was there at the beginning.
Wow, so
I felt
cool.
like we hadn't thrown a really great big party since our wedding, so I feel like the Christmas party kind of became like a second wedding for us.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, it was awesome, and how everyone sort of like crowded around the piano and started singing Christmas carols very organically. I mean, it was what you would have expected from a party.
I mean,
house.
It was next level. You had a snow machine in your backyard.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
I did.
It's California, so that's a big deal to us.
Snowing
guys.
In Los Angeles.
Well, truth be told, I may have had some wine one night, and I was looking up fun Christmas things on the internet, and I was like, oh, cool, I can rent a snow machine. And this one looks like Frosty the Snowman, and he's adorable. Like, it's this Frosty little the snowman, and he's got his hands cupped out, and he just blows snow out into the air. And I was like, great, I'll just rent it and ship it back. I guess I'd had a third glass of wine and I bought it.
So now you own this thing?
So I own it. He's right out there in our backyard.
Still hasn't cleaned it up.
Yeah,
but
I still
cool.
need to clean him up.
That's so funny.
But, and then it's really, he's very complicated. You got to put like, every 20 minutes, you got to refill him up with more snow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's why it was only snowing at various points.
He's a high maintenance Frosty.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Well, we should set it up. Let's go skiing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's going to be a great, yeah, when Game of Thrones is on, though, you know I'm going to get that out and go, winter is coming. That's going to be a whole other party that we're
so
going to throw.
That's why it's still out.
That's why it's still out.
Makes
I'm just
sense.
Waiting. I'm just waiting. Yes.
Well, we got a special Christmas gift for our listeners.
Yes, we do.
You as guys, we mentioned last week.
Yes. Okay. So we, as a reminder, we're going weekly and we're really excited about it. You guys asked and we listened.
Yeah. We really do read your messages. Like, I know that we're bad at the internet considering that we said that we would do like a Facebook Live months ago and we couldn't figure it out.
Still
and I
can.
Know
still
it's
can.
Just a button. But it's deceivingly more complicated than that when you push the button and it doesn't work.
That's because every live stream on Instagram, that's why every live stream on Instagram starts with, okay, I think it's going.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it what?
So we really do read your messages, though. We've figured out how to do that. And we've seen a lot of requests for the show to go weekly. And so we're doing it.
We're going to experiment with it for a few weeks and see how it goes. So you guys, we just want to hear from you. Tell us what you think. Rate us, review us, tell your friends, spread the word.
Yeah, most importantly, tell your friends.
Yeah, tell all your friends.
Because if this helps the show grow, we're going to keep doing it.
Actually, they don't even need to be your friends. Just tell people.
That's
yes.
true.
Anyone
tell
you
enemies.
See on the sidewalk.
Yeah, make flyers. Do kids still make flyers anymore? Is that a thing?
No.
God damn it.
Yeah, it's all real. It's on your cell phone. No.
It is
they
all
make,
on the
make
cell
make
phone.
Memes.
Yeah, maybe I'll make a flyer. I'll bring it back.
Or make a meme. Share a meme.
I'll just be hanging out in front of Ralph's because you know I love grocery stores and I'll have my neon flyers, #directionallychallengedpod directionally challenged pod, and I'll
like
just be
it.
Telling everyone.
You'll be right there
it.
Next to the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
Selling Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, I'll beat those bitches. I'll be like, excuse
Whoa.
Me.
Hey,
move
I was
over
a Girl Scout.
Cookies.
I'm offended.
Move over cookies. Actually, let's be honest. I'd buy all of the cookies.
Yeah.
Because our Big Bear trip is coming up.
You're right.
And that is part of our tradition.
I'm so excited. We take a Big Bear trip with our friends, usually during Valentine's Day weekend. And because, you know, we love our friends as much as we love our significant others.
That's great.
And we always bring Girl Scout cookies and somehow they seem to get finished every year.
Very quickly.
No
shocking.
Problem.
I know.
Because they're so delicious. So ladies, what are we talking about today?
What aren't we talking about? I'm so obsessed with Ilse, our guest. I mean, I was a fan before, but after she just left, I just think her interview is exactly what we all need to hear.
Did you have a set goal when you were, obviously you started acting very young and you had success very quickly at a young age?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The first show I was on, Freaks and Geeks, won like Emmys and all that good stuff. And I was so young, I didn't even know what I was in for. But Ilse has such great advice for people who have started young and have a goal. And she also reminds us that your goals change, that life can change. And so you become a different person and that's okay. I'm in awe.
Yeah. So it was really inspirational because I think sort of the overarching theme of what we were talking about was like, you kind of have to just accept that you're going to have to carve your own path because the way you think you're going to get to where you're going is going to be different. And in fact, it might not lead you to where you think. And I can speak to this personally because, you know, I wanted to be a filmmaker and I'm still a filmmaker, but I'm also doing podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, if I hadn't been open to that as a possibility, we wouldn't all be sitting here.
She also talks about having soul searching moments, right? Where you find what brings and makes you the best version of you. So she started in music, but she thought it would be performing. And then somehow she has found her path in writing and creating for other artists and how that is the best version of her. And I love that story.
So what's, you know, something from your life where you're like,
well, so much, because you're right. I started acting and as that's such a passion of mine and still is, but podcasting is so much fun. And who knew that we would be doing this? Yeah. And I love this because we're so much more in touch with our fans and it's much more of a community and we're learning along with you guys. And so it's fun to be going through this process with all of our fans, because otherwise when you're on a television show or in a movie, it's just so much, much more of a separated relationship. You know, you don't get one-on-one with your fans, and here we get to, and it's just really special. So I've loved that. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I moved to LA thinking I was going to do music. I mean,
oh yeah. So you really changed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've talked about it a little bit. I definitely had moments where I was like, well, this is it. Time for me to pack up and go home. And little surprises would kind of reveal themselves to say, no, actually there's something more for you to be doing here.
So when you first started acting, were you sort of like, yeah, this is like a cool side thing while I'm getting my music thing together?
It was actually the record label that I was on requested that I get on a show on what was the WB.
Right.
And funny enough, yeah, it was when a lot of artists were doing crossovers onto One Tree Hill. They had so many musicians on at the time,
so,
and they really helped break a lot of young artists. And it was also the MTV reality show generation. So we had like Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey on our TV, Ashley Simpson, like, you know, that just changed everything. So my first meetings with the record label at the age of 17 was like, well, we got to pitch you to MTV. And then also you need to start acting lessons so you can get on to One Tree Hill.
Wow.
Did you feel less pressure because it was sort of like a, not a side gig, but sort of like, it wasn't music.
I felt so much pressure.
Oh, wow.
Well, also all of my friends at the time were successful actors on their own TV shows. You know, if I hung out with my friends or like my first teenage boyfriend, it was like go visiting them on sets. Mm. So it wasn't like this, oh, who knows if that'll happen or not. It was like, okay,
if anything, it might have been worse because like you don't have any experience.
I didn't have any experience. And I felt so behind.
Right.
But I was fortunate enough to, it kind of worked out. I mean, I really did love it.
No, it didn't kind of work out.
But in the beginning, it definitely worked out. But in the beginning, I got like an independent film, which immediately got me into SAG. And I really loved being on set as an actor for the first time, because I would always visit and hang out in the hair and makeup room and just kind of follow around my friends. And it was the first time I was in the hair and makeup room for a reason. And I really loved doing the work. And so after that, I just was excited to keep auditioning and keep booking things. And then the writer's strike happened. So there were no auditions.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it, but I actually went on tour with Miley Cyrus. Ilse works with her a lot right now. Mm-hmm. And Miley would have been 14. She had her 15th birthday when we were on the road. I was one of her backup singers for the Best of Both Worlds tour. And that's what kept me afloat. I mean, I didn't have any backup plan. I had like...
So music became your side gig.
So music became the side gig.
Wild.
Yeah. And then by the time I got back to LA, I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I was not working on the tour anymore. I'm a terrible backup singer. I've said this before on this podcast, and it's okay. It's true. And I just took a bunch of classes. I took writing classes. I took acting classes. I took acting intensives, and I really pushed myself into it. And then I got the job. Yeah.
Candace and I were working on Vampire together, we had this day off and we didn't leave my bed. I think we just like slept in my bed all day and just like kind of, I think it had been after a night out and we were exhausted and shooting's exhausting too. And we were like, let's show each other the worst project we've ever been in.
Oh.
And we legitimately watched
was
each
that
other's. It was.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I realized they were both horrible.
Oh my God, they were also bad. I don't want to say any of them.
Come on.
No.
Can you at least give us some clues as to why you
hate
it so much?
I know I had done like this really kind of, you know,
without giving too much away,
teen movie with Tara Reid.
And it was like a Porky's kind of thing.
For sure. It was like Tara Reid was in it and like there's lots of naked people. I was not one of them, but it was one of those movies where, yeah, it was one of those movies where, like, you know, were my parents thrilled I was in it? Probably not. So I showed Candace that and it's pretty bad.
Yours is Hot and Cool.
No, it's not.
Why, yes. What was yours like?
Yours is a pirate movie.
Oh, now you're so embarrassed.
Oh, yes, Kayla. Okay. It was a children's pirate movie where I had to be a boy pirate and have a like very cheap mustache on.
You were a boy?
Yes.
You were?
I was a hidden boy pirate. And I had a mustache on. And like the one thing that I took away from it, which funny enough is still on my resume, is I had to take sword fighting classes for a few weeks.
Wow.
So still on my resume, guys.
So you're a real swashbuckler.
Yeah, I had an audition like months back and one of the casting directors was like, so it says here that you do sword fighting. Is this an active hobby of yours? And I was like, oh God, like, why is that on there?
But it's such a good lesson for people to know that you started in a movie like that. And then, you know, I've had so much success. So it's just good for everyone to realize that, yeah, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Sometimes you got to carve your own path.
That's
with
right.
Your own sword.
<It's> Zorro.
So stay tuned, guys. We will be right back after this break with Ilse Juber.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
This podcast is brought to you by Showtime and the acclaimed comedy series Smilf. Bridget Bird is a 20-something single mom from South Boston doing her best to juggle life, work, and relationships, all while staying true to herself and creating a better life for her son, Larry.
Starring Frankie Shaw, Rosie O'Donnell, and Connie Britton, don't miss the return of Smilf. New episodes every Sunday, only on Showtime. And we are back with one of our favorite guests. Not only is she wildly talented, but she's a dear friend of ours, Ilse Juber.
Yeah, such a dear friend, Kayla. Review her last name.
You're such a good friend. You didn't know how to say my last name until I just told you.
Now I'll never forget because she said it's Juber like Uber. So, you guys, Ilse is so talented. You probably just saw her on SNL performing with Miley Cyrus
and Mark Ronson.
She has created and collaborated with Beyonce, Drake, Shawn Mendes, Diplo, Ty Dolla Sign, Camila Cabello, 2 Chainz, Mariah Carey, Christina Aguilera, Linkin Park, Pitbull, Britney Spears, Nick Jonas. I could go on forever. Did I miss anyone? A lot, probably.
I mean, I didn't even know half of those.
I feel emotional over here because I have known you since we were like 16 and 17.
Yeah.
Am I hormonal today? What's going on?
Candace is actually really tearing up right
now.
Yeah,
I'm just so happy for you. And we've known each other since we were 16, 17 years old.
That's so crazy. Yes, how long? It's like over half of our lives.
Yeah. Over half of our lives. The running joke forever was I brought you to get your first pedicure and I felt very honored.
It's true.
But also, I remember...
Probably says more about me than anything.
But I remember you played like Genghis Khan back in the day, which is this like tiny little like
it's a Chinese restaurant with like a little performance space in the back.
Yes. And I remember cheering you on there. You were just the girl who was wildly talented. And anytime there was a guitar in the corner, you had no fear to pick up that guitar and sing your heart out and let anyone in the room listen to the song that you were writing. And now like fast forward 13 years later, and here we are.
It's so crazy. I mean, we've like had this group of friends for so long, and everybody had all these different talents, and everybody had all these dreams and ambitions, and now we're all like grown-ups.
We're grown-ups.
And we've all kind of achieved these goals and these dreams in all of our different respective ways, and it's pretty incredible to watch.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to watch your bat mitzvah video, so I feel like I've really done a deep dive. Because there was a time when you loved showing people your bat mitzvah video.
My mom loved showing people my bat mitzvah video.
Well, there was a really epic celebrity appearance at your bat mitzvah, who's also like obviously a family friend. But that was like the main thing was Sir Paul McCartney.
He was not at my bat mitzvah, actually.
What?
Sarah liked to tell people that he was. That was just my dad.
Lies!
That was my dad playing guitar at my bat mitzvah, and Sarah liked to tell everybody that that was Paul McCartney.
Clearly it worked. That's how rumors start.
That is how rumors get started.
Well, also, your dad did play with Sir Paul McCartney.
That is true. That
in
is
Wings. True. Yes. You come from such an impressive family legacy, both musically and TV. I mean, your grandfather, your mom's dad. Also, there's some shows. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Gilligan's Island or The Brady Bunch, but the creator of that was Sherwood Schwartz, which was your grandfather.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You kind of had like my dream childhood. Because usually when you're a child and you're like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be an artist. And they're like, whoa, let's think about a practical job. Like you came from so much art and creativity. When did you know that you wanted to be in the arts?
I mean, it's kind of just all I've ever wanted. It's all I've ever known. I think for me, it was more about how is it going to manifest? Like, what is the exact way that it's going to happen? Because I started off wanting to be a drummer. That was like my thing. I took piano lessons when I was a little kid, and I wasn't super into that. But then when I turned like 11 or so, I wanted to be a drummer. That was like my goal, because I was super into Hanson. That was like my favorite band ever. And I was going to marry Zach Hanson, and we were going to like go on these tours playing drums together. And that was my goal, was to be a drummer. And I got a drum set and I was like really into it. And then that shifted when I was probably about 16 to writing songs, playing guitar. And then I was going to be, you know, the next Dave Matthews or something.
Did you feel pressure being in the same industry as your dad, who's already so successful in it? And, you know, did that add to the pressure of succeeding?
Not really, because I think it, for me, it was more just like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, then you have to just do it. Like, you have to do it the best. Mm. There was no, like, backup plan. There was no, what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? It was just kind of assumed that it was going to work out and that I was going to be awesome at it and that it was like going to happen. Well, I guess that is a certain amount of pressure, because for me, there was no other option or alternative. So it was either this or nothing. So I think like it was just a matter of like, all right, like what's the exact direction? And then I think that was a journey to find exactly what I'm doing right now, which is writing songs for artists and writing with artists and helping them to find their voice and all of that. But
see, I would have thought that you were writing songs from a really young age. Were you like, you didn't start until you were older then?
Well,
like,
I
not
did.
That 16's older, but
I kind of wrote like little songs in my head all the time. Like Halloween would come around and I would write like a little song about candy in my head, but I just wouldn't share it with anybody. But I started writing songs like on guitar for real when I was probably about 14 or 15. I started writing poetry a little bit before that, but then I would put it to music when I was about 14.
Can you take us through the creative process of writing a song and what that is?
Oh,
is that
boy.
A sacred thing? Or
no, it's just there's no one way.
Uh-huh.
I think it's different every time I do it, because it depends on the circumstances, it depends on the day, it depends on who I'm with. And if I'm just by myself writing a song on guitar, which doesn't happen too often anymore, because I spend so much time in studios with all sorts of musicians and producers and artists and all that. So most of my energy goes to that. But every once in a while, I'll sit down at a piano or guitar and I'll write a song by myself. And that's usually just like letting the idea come out. And I'll start with some chords and I'll just kind of mumble stuff until I find what I'm trying to say. A lot of times, though, it'll start with a title. Or it'll start with just kind of, it rarely starts with an idea. Mm. It's either a title or melodies. And if it's melodies, then I mumble my way until I hear something that sounds like a lyric. And then I'm like, oh, that's what it sounds like I'm saying. And then I chase that.
Are you doing something mundane, like washing the dishes, and then a melody pops in your head?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes. Usually, if a melody or an idea pops in my head, I'm either in the bathtub, in the shower, by the beach. Like, it's always water for some reason is involved, or driving.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
To me, that seems like it's when you're most relaxed.
Yeah. And there's something kind of like calming about it and meditative, I guess.
So you you start writing songs, you start playing the guitar.
Yeah.
When did you decide, like, what was your first break at that point? What was the plan? Because I just remember you were just performing constantly. And so we were both doing music at that same time, and we had such different trajectories. But I was always so impressed and jealous by your bravery. Like, that was, my nightmare is having to sing in front of anyone. And it was just immediately you were home. So when did you, what was like the next step that you found? Like, what was the next goal at that point?
I mean, the goal for me, I don't know. I think I had different goals along the way. Like, the goal at one point was like, get a record deal. That was like the big thing was like, I got to get a record deal and be an artist and like put out an album and win a million Grammys and be like the biggest artist in the world. And I think like, so everything kind of was shifted and angled towards that. So it was like a lot of performing and trying to get attention. It was all about like getting attention from the right people or who I thought were the right people at the time.
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of like the focus for a long time was just like you said, I would play for anybody, anytime, anywhere, because I was like, well, you never know like who you're going to play a song for. That's going to be the person that's going to like change it all.
But isn't that what led you to your first writing credit? Or am I mixing that up?
Kind of. I mean, that was kind of more of a twisted journey of like, I don't know. It's just such a long story of like,
Your first writing credit.
My first writing credit. Well, I mean, ultimately what ended up happening was I was chasing the artist thing for a really long time. And then I ended up in my band, the Canyons. And then through that, we signed a publishing deal. And once I had a publishing deal, when the band ended, I was like, what am I going to do next? And that was like the soul searching moment where I had to be like, what's my favorite part of all of this? And that was the writing part. And so then I went to my publishers and I said, you know, I just need to write. Just can you set me up on some sessions and let me try this? And then they did. And then that's when it kind of all fell into place.
And for people that don't know what a publisher is, a music publisher.
A publisher is basically somebody that publishes your songs. So they're responsible for shopping your songs when they come in and they're, you know, they kind of own your catalog, I guess, is the best way to put it.
So it's been quite a journey, right? It's been years and years of like you choosing something and then your goals changing and all that. So
yeah, that's really what it is. It's just like goals changing along the way.
How many times did you want to quit?
Never. Wow. I don't think I ever wanted to quit. I just wanted to change directions till I found the right one. Because for me, music was always the end game. That was never a question. It was just, how am I going to find the right angle on it? And so that's what I mean about directions changing is just like, you know, am I going to focus on me as an artist? Am I going to focus on writing songs? Am I going to focus on helping other artists write songs? And that's, you know, once I kind of refined what my specialty is, I think that's when everything kind of fell into place. It's like, oh, okay, where can I be a star? Where can I be the absolute best at what it is that I do? And what I do best is the thing that I'm doing right now, I think. Because, you know, I think that when you find the thing that you shine brightest at, when you can really narrow that down, that's when you find, like, the path.
And do you feel it? Do you feel it in your bones?
Yeah, I do. I do. And, there, you know, obviously there's days when I'm like, oh, like, this is hard. Or, you know, where I feel like I'm not quite in the zone or in the right space or whatever. And that's when I have to kind of like reflect and be like, okay, well, what am I doing that's wrong? What am I not focused on? What am I focused on too much? And then that's when I kind of readjust. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not working with the right people or the right projects. And I kind of go a little bit deeper in on it because, you know, it's all about working on the things that really creatively fulfill you.
Gosh, you're really good at self-reflection and knowing yourself enough. It sounds like it. And knowing yourself enough to know where to go from here or what your next step is or the next direction?
I think it's some days. Yeah. Some days I feel very lost and, you know, and I think that if you allow yourself to be lost and if you allow yourself to like know that you have no idea, then all it is it's more just awareness of like, of being in that space and openness to receiving whatever signs may come along. Because I think like the universe is always going to show you like what the next step is, but you can't always see it if you're not paying attention, you know?
Love that.
How old were you when the Canyons ended? Who, and do you want to, the other members of this band are also like badass talented.
For sure. Yeah. The Canyons was, the idea started, Randy Jackson, who's awesome and was on American Idol, obviously. And
we all know who Randy Jackson is.
Randy and I met and he was like, yo, I got this idea, dog. And, you know, I'm going to start this band. And it's going to be like the next Fleetwood Mac. And I was like, hell yeah. That sounds amazing to me. I've always wanted to be Stevie Nicks.
And that's your karaoke song.
That is my
Nailed
karaoke
it.
Song.
That's your karaoke song.
Very shortly after that, I met Allison Porter, who's an incredible singer and awesome person. And she actually won The Voice a couple seasons ago. And, she's going to hate me for saying this, but she was Curly Sue in the movie Curly Sue. and we started writing songs together and singing together. And it just kind of was like, obviously you're going to be in this project. And then it was like finding our third person because we wanted to have three people. And actually we went through all these different people, L. King being one of them, who's an incredible singer-songrighter. Who's had amazing success.
You've
on
worked
her
with
own.
Her as well, right? On other, her other.
No, I actually haven't, but we did like, this project together and then she went off and did amazing things on her own. And then, Jordan Lawhead ended up being our third person, who's an awesome singer songwriter from, Nashville. And he was kind of our third person and we made it like an EP together and we signed our deal with Randy and we signed our publishing deal and it was like this whole thing. And then, you know, I think we all just kind of had different ideas at the time of like exactly what to do with it and where to take it. And it just, you know, life happens and Allie wanted to have her family and she got pregnant and all that kind of stuff, which was the right move for her at the time. And so at that point, I think I was, how old was I? I was probably like 25, maybe 26, something like that.
Because that's a lot of the questions we get from our listeners are that they're in their early 20s or mid 20s and they're like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do or my life is taking on a new direction and is it too late? Or is it, and it's like, no, you're young and this is the time when it is totally, it's always appropriate to kind of figure out what the next thing is for yourself.
For sure.
But especially when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to lie. I definitely had like a panic in that moment where I was like, oh my God, I thought this was the thing.
Yeah.
I thought this was like my moment. Like this, I had this band and we were going to be the biggest thing in the world. And there was like hype and it was all this, you know, it was like the thing. And then it ended. And I was like, oh my God, do I have to get a real job? And I was like, maybe this, like, that was the only time I've ever questioned like what I was going to do, like what my next step was.
Yeah.
Because it's usually been clear what the next step is. And I just didn't know.
So how did you figure that out?
Well, what ended up happening was I got a real job. And I ended up working at a rehab, like a rehabilitation center for drugs and alcohol. And I've been sober for a long time now. And I felt like if I was going to do anything, I wanted to do something that would be of service to people in some way and where I could feel like I was making a difference in other people's lives and, you know, get paid for it. And
be an adult.
Yeah. And be an adult. I mean, it was the first time I was like, how am I going to support myself? What am I going to do? And, you know, and so
we
I had
personal
to
like, assistants back in the day.
We were
at the
personal
same time.
Assistants. Yes.
But that's still like being a personal assistant in LA doesn't, even though it's a real job, sometimes it can feel so whimsical and you're like, where am I?
And you're still
Who
like traveling to far off locations and you know, you're around like the celebrity, you know, and so it doesn't feel like a 9 to 5. And this felt like a 9 to 5. Like I woke up in the morning and I had to be at a job. And
how long did this go on for?
This was about a year. This was about a year, and I had a publishing deal at this point still. Like, I was under contract with Sony ATV, and, you know, but I had no money, and I had to make money, and I had to support myself. And that was the moment where, like, doing this job, as fulfilling as it was to help people and to feel like I was doing something worthwhile, I was miserable because I wasn't doing the thing that I feel like I was put on this earth to do. And that frustration pushed me so hard to, like, figure out another way. I was like, okay, I can't do this. I can't, like, not do music. And that was the point where I went to my publishers and I was like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be. Maybe I'm writing songs for myself. Maybe it's for other people, but I just have to write and I want to try something. And they kind of, like, it's not that they blew me off. They just didn't really, like, necessarily know what, you know, what, yeah, well, or what I was capable of. Yeah. I didn't know what I was capable of. I'd never done it before. And so I just kind of took a leap of faith a little bit. And so did they, in putting me in these sessions. Like, songwriting sessions are basically like blind dates where you show up and you're just like, okay, hey, nice to meet you. Here's my entire soul. Let's write a song together. And I just faked it. Like, there was all these things I didn't know how to do, like recording vocals. Cause you basically, you write a song and then you record it in the same day. And then you walk away with like a finished demo. And it's like a lot of just concentrated energy. And, you know, all these techniques that I just didn't know, that I just pretended I did. So people would be like, hey, can you, you know, do doubles on your vocals and the harmonies and all this stuff? And I was like, yeah, of course. For sure. Like,
snip, snap, whoopity-doo, I got this.
Yeah, like just pretending I knew everything. And people would reference all these people in the industry and I'd be like, oh yeah, that person for sure.
That's really funny. So did you have any like imposter syndrome stuff where you're like, I'm going to get found out at any moment?
I have that every day still. Okay. Every day of my life. I walk into the studio and I'm like, when are they going to realize I don't belong here?
It seems like there's a lot of moments where you've had to be your own cheerleader.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't, yeah, I guess, like, just believing in myself almost to like a foolish degree where I'm just like, I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it. And luckily I've found people along the way that believe in me more than I believe in myself at this point. And I'm so fortunate to have a team around me. And I'm actually really grateful that I have a family that's actually always believed in me more than I believe in myself. And having that support from my parents and my sister and like everybody just with this like unshakable faith that I'm just going to make it and willing to like, you know, help support me when I couldn't support myself and pay my parking tickets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, if I hadn't had them along the way, I don't know what I would have done.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Support for today's show comes from HelloFresh. Make conquering the kitchen in 2019 a reality with deliciously simple recipes from HelloFresh.
Each week, HelloFresh delivers pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow six-step pictured recipe cards to your door in a special insulated box. All meals come together in 30 minutes max, call for less than two pots and pans, and require minimal cleanup.
And with three plans to choose from, including classic, veggie, and family, as well as the option to switch plans when your tastes change, there's something for everyone.
Oh my gosh, I loved my HelloFresh meals this week.
They were really good,
yeah,
weren't
I
they?
Made like this Korean, like this, with the Korean bowl, and it was like this Korean beef bowl.
It was so good.
Oh my gosh, everyone ate all of it.
We chose to make that one first.
You did.
Of all the ingredients.
You guys are wild. So take advantage of HelloFresh's special offer for 2019. Get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/challenged80 and enter promo code challenged80.
That's HelloFresh.com/challenged80 and enter promo code challenged80 to take advantage of HelloFresh's special offer for 2019 and get $80 off your first month. And we're back.
What was the first, when was the first session that you were there where you're like, okay, I got it. I'm not faking it till I'm making it anymore. Like when did it start clicking for you?
I don't know. I don't know that I can answer that.
Was it the first time that you heard a song that you were a part of on the radio?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think like my first song of mine I ever heard on the radio was Fireball. Which is so funny because it's like it's not really my style, but it was like this collective that I was a part of, and we would make all these songs together. And like with Fireball, we wanted to make like the ultimate wedding party song that everybody would want to party to and play.
I think, you know, I've heard that at every wedding I've been at.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those songs, and you know, and we were fortunate enough to just like, everybody was drinking Fireball at the time, and I wasn't.
Some
being
of us
sober.
Still are, Ilse.
And we were all at a beach house in Oxnard, and I was invited to this writing camp, and it was me and five guys, and we just spent a week making music. And during that same week, I think even on the same day, we wrote Headlights, which was a Robin Schultz song that I was featured on, which was the exact opposite song of Fireball. If you could pick an opposite song to Fireball, it's that song. But yeah, I don't know. We wrote Fireball, and then we were like, no one in the world can do this song but Pitbull. And we were lucky enough to get him to be on it and write his verses. And, you know, I heard that song on the radio, and I was like, I think I might be like actually making it a little bit.
That's a great feeling.
I remember you playing it for me in the car. Yeah. You were like, I did this. And I was like, what? Because it's so unlike anything yes. I've ever heard you write or be a part
and
of.
And still is.
It still is. So for listeners, writing camps, and I'm totally, like, that's my, sounds like a dream. I just want to like go to a castle and be creative with a bunch of artists. Like, can
is that what they're called, writing camps?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you explain to everyone what that is?
I mean, a writing camp is if you can just imagine summer camp, basically, but with a bunch of writers and producers just hanging out writing songs all day is kind of what a writing camp is. There's different variations of it. I mean, like a writing camp that's in town that's directed to a specific artist, they do those too, where it's like, oh, okay, you know, X pop star needs this kind of song. We're going to throw a bunch of people together and see if we can get that kind of song. But like they have a lot of these camps where it's just like, we want to get a bunch of creative people together and just see what comes of it. And so they'll stick us all in a castle in France and be like, okay, go at it.
We were in Paris on a girls' trip, and Ilse was also in Paris. Or where were you?
Yeah, we were in the south of France at a castle.
She goes, I just came from a castle in the south of France. Can I come over to your apartment?
Yeah,
and we had a dinner party, and you brought Julia Michaels.
Yes.
Before she was Julia Michaels.
Yeah. And Cammy's drinking wine being like, will you sing for us, Julia?
And that, I mean, it's amazing though, because you have all these incredibly talented people that, you know, some of them start off writing songs for other people and then they become artists themselves. And that was one example of it, where we were at this castle writing, you know, music for other people. And then she went off and had this incredible, you know, is having this incredible career as an artist. So
is there one song that you have created that is your favorite, that you feel like speaks of who you are as an artist the most?
No, not really. I mean, I think each song that I've been a part of, even Fireball, has like a little part of me in it and has something special that I connect to. So I think it's hard to answer that. The second I write a song and another artist does it, or I write a song with an artist and then they take it and it has a life of its own, it's not mine anymore. And so I disconnect from it, and it's not about what it meant to me when I wrote it. It's not about what I feel when I listen to it. It's about what the artist attaches to it and what meaning it has to them, and then what it has to their fans. And so I think it's like, I have to kind of remember that it's not about me. And when I remember that, then I'm okay. If I make it too much about myself, then it becomes about ego and it becomes about me trying to prove something. And that's not what I'm in it for. I'm in it to help artists say what it is that they're trying to say and, you know, put stuff out there that means something to them.
Was it a process to, have you had a good relationship with your ego, or do you feel like that's more recently that you've been able to make that separation? And that's coming from someone who struggles with being able to separate myself from my ego.
I mean,
now,
I struggle with it all the time. I really do. I think it's hard when you're in an industry where you can literally look on a chart and you're like, and you can see where, you know, your work is compared to other people's work. And then you judge yourself based on, you know, what your status is in the world and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, it's hard for me sometimes to separate myself from that and from what other people around me are doing, because, you know, there's this always this like FOMO feeling of everybody else is doing stuff that I want to be doing, and then feeling like you're not a part of, and all of that. And I think, you know, I have this tendency to feel like it's never good enough. I'm never good enough. My work is never good enough, and all that. And that's still ego, yeah. Even though it's insecurity. And even though it's like, it's me feeling like less than, feeling less than is still ego. It's just a different form of it. It's feeling like I'm, you know, I'm so important that I should feel equal to, you know, or whatever it is. But I think like just knowing that it should be about the art, and it should be about just creation. And I think that that's the hardest part for me, is when I'm focused on the results, it's about ego. When I'm focused on the creation, it's just about the art. And it's hard to remember that.
So you hear yourself on the radio. Well, you hear the song that you were part of writing on the radio.
Yeah.
Did that all of a sudden open all the doors, or was it you still had to kind of keep knocking and kick them down?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just always a process of trying to get better and better and better, and open more doors. Because once you open a door, you're like, ah, I'm in the room. And then you look and there's another door. And you're like, okay, cool. Now I got to get to that. It's like a video game.
Yeah.
You know, and like, once you like reach a certain level, you're like, okay, cool. But now I got to get to that next level. And like, you, in this industry, you never rescue the princess.
Well, I felt you rescued the princess when, you know what I'm about to say, when you were part of a song on Beyonce's Lemonade. I can't even say it. I'm so excited. Cause I watched it, bawled my eyes out, and then just started like texting everybody I knew and being like, you have to watch Lemonade. And I remember we were chatting, and I'm in Denver after Florence was born, and you were like, oh yeah, I'm actually a part of that. I have one of the songs on there and it's All Night. And I was like, what? Are you allowed to tell us about the process of finding out how your song was going to be on it?
Or yeah, you... for sure. Okay. I mean, you know,
I don't know how secretive it is.
No, okay. It's
I
not
feel
really
like it's really secretive.
I feel nervous even talking about it.
The lead up to it is secretive for sure. And I can tell you that I didn't know until I saw it on TV.
Wow.
That it was for sure going to be on there.
Wow.
And you know, and that song, I'm so fortunate. Like the feeling of being a part of that project and just the impact it had on culture and the impact it had on everybody, you know, just knowing that I was a part of that in any small way was like, you know, it affects me in a big way. And honestly, I mean, you know, I didn't do too much on it. I just wrote some lyrics on some verses, but I still, you know, being a part of that was really big for me. And yeah, I mean, we basically were just notified that the song might be used on this secret project. And then we were like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then we found out what it was. And then the day of, they were like, hey, we need to do splits on this song, which is splits being where they figure out the percentages. And we were like, oh shit, this might actually get used. And then Evan, my manager, came over to my house to watch Lemonade on HBO. And I realized I didn't have HBO. And so 5 minutes before it came on HBO, I called Time Warner Cable. And of course, like, I'm on hold.
Oh my God.
And 2 minutes before.
This is a Beyonce emergency.
Well, no, 2 minutes before they pick up the phone, and I was like, I need to get HBO immediately. And the woman was like, I was like, Lemonade, Beyonce, I have, and she was like, say no more. And it zapped to my TV within moments. And then sure enough, it started all of them. And of course, All Night is the very last song on Lemonade. So I had to wait for the entire thing to know that that was on there. But, you know, I think I was,
what
I'm
happened
so fortunate
when you saw
to.
It? I mean, when it came on, how did you react?
I mean, I was pretty speechless.
I can only imagine.
I was
imagine.
Just like, what is happening right now?
Wow.
And I had only heard the song a couple of times, so I wasn't even sure that it was the right song.
Because
so
you didn't see anything either. Like, you didn't see the music video that came with it or anything. This was like totally fresh.
I didn't
you saw
know
it at
anything.
Home.
Did you cry?
Wow.
I think I was more in shock. I don't think I cried.
Well, I was crying. If it makes you feel better.
Enough crying for you.
You're crying earlier today. So.
I know.
Yeah, but I think, like, you know, it's funny. It's hard for me to take credit on things that I feel like, well, you know, I didn't write that much on the song and whatever, but I think I've put in a lot of work to be in a position to get those kind of calls from people like Diplo, who I have so much respect for, who I've done a lot of work with. And, you know, so when he thinks of me to help out on a song like that, that takes time to build that relationship and that trust. And so I think, you know, the work that goes into it is not to be taken lightly. And I think that's what I have to remember. Is it's not just that one song. It's the whole buildup of like how you get there.
And then all the doors that can open up in a beautiful way. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that the one thing that I always have to remember, and I tell people this all the time when, you know, 'cause a lot of writers and artists that I talk to all the time, no matter how big or small or whatever, everybody always feels the same way, that they get nervous or they get insecure, and they're like, well, when I walk into a room with X person or that person or people that I feel like are better than me, you know, I don't feel like I belong there. And I feel that all the time. But the one thing that I always try to remember is you're never anywhere on accident, and you don't end up in a room like that on accident. If you're there, you're there for a reason, and you're there because you've worked to get there. And I think if you remember that, whether you're an actor going in on auditions, whether you're going in on a job interview, like, you just don't end up anywhere by accident. And I think if you have that confidence to just know that, you know, whatever happens, you're there for a reason, and you wouldn't be there if you couldn't handle it.
Do you have mentors that
I do. Yeah. I feel like everybody I work with is a mentor in some way. I think, you know, I've been so fortunate to work with like incredible artists and producers. And, you know, one person that I work with right now is Mark Ronson, who I feel like, I don't even know how I got so lucky to work with him, because he's just like this massive genius, insanely talented human that, you know, I've looked up to for so long. And I remember the day that I met him walking into the studio and being like, why am I here? What's going on? And, you know, I think we've develop this relationship over time of just like creative trust, and the fact that like he wants to hear what I have to say and respects me in any kind of way is like amazing. And I've learned so much from just watching his process and being a part of his world. And so that's somebody that I really look up to. And, you know, my managers are mentors to me, and every artist I work with is a mentor to me. And, you know, I think that no matter who you're with, like even a brand new writer that's never written anything on the charts or anything like that, if they say something in a session where you're like, oh man, I've never thought of it like that, that's a piece of information you can take with you, and that stays with you.
Do you see yourself 10 years ago in the new writers that are coming into the room now? Like, do you have young writers that you feel like you want to mentor at this point?
Totally. I mean, I think once you get to a certain point, it's kind of your responsibility to start giving back, because so many people have given to me and taken a chance on me and seen something in me early on and wanted to work with me. And so I think, you know, it wouldn't be right if I didn't pass that along. You know, I think finding, and there's a couple people like young, like teenagers that I found where I'm like, oh, I think there's something special in there. And so I try to kind of help guide them along the way a little bit and help in any way that I can. But I think it's really special when you see somebody like first starting to write songs, and there's when you don't know anything is sometimes when you write like the most amazing stuff, because you don't know how to like self-correct. Mm-hmm. And so it's just this pure inspiration coming out. And I think there's really something magical about that, and trying to make sure that those people don't like lose that initial spark, because, you know, I think you can get jaded really quickly and then you lose like the ability to just have that pure inspiration.
I feel like when we met when we were young, we were also surrounded with a lot of very successful young teenagers.
Yes.
Like we were, it was like, oh yeah, there's our friend who's off to work on their big show. And everyone was either working on sets or like winning awards, or it was a very intimidating group of people to be around. And I don't know about you, but I definitely felt a pressure of like, okay, success needs to happen like right now.
Yeah.
And I'm already behind. But it obviously didn't happen overnight for you. Are you grateful for that? Are you looking back like,
I mean, I I'm immensely grateful for that, because I think that if it had happened when I was 17 or 18, I would have fallen apart. You know, like, there's a reason that I got sober. And, you know, it's like doing this in sobriety, doing this like with a sound mind, and doing this now, I'm able to deal with everything with a certain perspective that I didn't have back then. And I think everybody's journey is different, but, you know, and there's some like really enlightened teenagers that can deal with it really well. But, I would not have been able to deal with it had I been having the success that I'm having right now back then. And I probably would have sabotaged it in some way.
Do you feel like the young writers that you're working with, that in this digital age, that they feel a need to have it all figured out really quickly?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of like, with social media especially, like everybody's always comparing themselves. And so you see these people like posting about, you know, their songs that they have out, and then other people comparing themselves to what they see on there. And then everybody, it's like this competition of feeling like, well, that person has a number one, so I have to have a number one. And everybody's like in this race. But what they don't realize is like, nobody's actually racing each other. Nobody's in competition with anybody else. Like, everybody's on their own path. And it's not, there's so much space. There's so much space for everybody to have success. And it's not a competition between me and you. It's a competition within yourself to just do the best work. And I think, you know, everybody wants to kind of reach this peak, but like, there is no peak, because if you reach some peak, then you're just going to fall. So you just want to be climbing steadily, I think.
That's such good advice.
You don't want the video game to be over.
No. The princess should stay in the castle. Yeah.
Can that be the title of your next song?
That's where she writes all of her best stuff.
Yeah. Or the prince. We're in a new age. We don't want to limit the gender.
You've had such great advice. Is there anything else you want to give to our listeners about your journey, or any advice that you would give your younger self?
I mean, the only advice that I would give to your listeners is like, don't listen to anything I say, because I don't know anything. I mean, honestly, like, I'm still figuring it out every day. And you know, some days I think I understand a little bit. And then some days I'm like, that was not it at all. And I think it's different for everybody. Everybody's journey is different. Just because it worked this way for me does not mean that it's going to work this way for you. Your journey is going to look completely different. And you know, everybody's path is their path. And I think that we all have to have respect for that. And I think, you know, I often find myself in a position where I'm like, I can get a little bit judgmental sometimes, where I'm like, well, that person's not doing it right because they have to be, you know, in the room with this person and that person, or else they're not going to, you know, find any success. But then I'm like, well, that's my journey. That's not their journey. They're doing it exactly the way they need to do it. And I think if we all have like a little bit of respect for ourselves and allow ourselves to be on our own path and not compare ourselves so much to everybody else, like, the world would probably be a little bit of a better place.
It's about the art.
Yeah, it is. It's about focusing on just creation as opposed to the end result. As far as advice for my younger self, I don't know. There's too much.
I have some advice. Never get rid of that metallic metal tie.
Oh my
God.
That's my biggest regret in life. I had this.
It was a chainmail necklace tie.
A metal tie.
It was so good. And I had a gold one and a silver one, and I got rid of them.
Can we please get photos so we can share this with our listeners?
There's photos from my 18th birthday. Yeah.
They're so good.
So many photos. Ilse, what do you have coming up next? What can our listeners be excited to listen to?
I mean, next up is you know, the Mark Ronson album. I'm really excited for. We've put in a lot of time and a lot of work on that, and you know, that's just been an incredible journey working with him. And so there's awesome features on there with amazing artists, and so I think that's going to be really awesome. That's coming out this year, and then I've been so fortunate to be able to do some work with Miley on her next project. And you know, that's nothing's finalized in with that, but I think that there's going to be some really special stuff on there, and she's just such an incredible artist. And I think her vision is just amazing. So I think people are going to be really excited to hear that. And, you know, other than that, I mean, there's so many incredible people I get to work with every day that I think people are going to be, you know, hopefully like what I have in store. It changes all the time.
What are your socials so people can find you?
I'm just at Ilsey.
Spell it so people know.
Ilsey on Instagram. And then my Twitter's at Ilsey J.
Perfect.
I'm not really on Twitter all that much, but Instagram I'm on a little bit.
We're trying to get better.
I'm trying to get worse at social media. I'm trying to be less on there.
I like that. Well, we love you. And
I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Thanks for being here. Now we know you have to go. There's a songwriting emergency. So
there is.
You gotta run.
I'm like a doctor.
Yeah.
There really is. It's hilarious. We'll let you go. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Love you.
Love you.
There are so many things that I wrote down as she was speaking that I want to take home and try and implement in my life. What did you take from it the most?
I took the reminder that it's about the art and it's about the creativity, and anything that you do, it should come from that fire within you, and you should be passionate about it. I mean, even if it's not what, if you're not fortunate enough to have your job be something that you're passionate about, even just something at home, you know, even the way that it reminds me, even the way that I am with my family, it should be about the love that I have for my family and not like, oh, well, this is just another thing I have to do. And, so I just loved that reminder of even with auditions or comparing myself to what other people doing as opposed to what I'm doing, like, that's an ego trip in itself. And instead, just look at the art that I want to create and that I have the ability to create.
My favorite thing she said was, you're never anywhere on accident.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that with me everywhere I go.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when she was leaving. We were just sort of saying goodbye, and she's leaving. She's like, said something that I thought was really interesting that could have just as easily been on the podcast, when she was like, When you're trying too hard to make something that it's not supposed to be, you're missing out on the opportunity of finding what that thing is actually supposed to be. And it's like, yeah, that's totally perfect. It's just like, you kind of have to just like accept things as they come. And it seems like she's got the, like, a really uncanny ability to do that, which I'm very jealous of.
Well, as someone who's known her for a very long time, I mean, that's, I think, why I was so emotional when we started talking, is because it's, you know, it's just so, it just makes me so happy to see a person blossoming into like the best version of themselves. And Ilsey will be the first person to admit, like, hey, I don't know anything. These are just the things that I've kind of figured out. And she's so humble with her advice, but she's really done so much work on herself. And she's, I always called, like, I feel like there are a few kinds of different friends. You know, there's the friends where you're like social friends and your buddy, or the friends that you can go to a party with. And then there's the friends that are like, you're by the side of the road and you need to phone a friend. And she has always, from day one, been someone that you, like, she's a phone a friend kind of friend. And she just has that kind of heart. So I'm just so happy just hearing and being able to witness her journey over the past,
you can see
years.
All her self-work too.
I know.
Man, it's just so obvious, and we're so grateful to have had her.
So let's talk takeaways real quick. So what do you think you guys will want to, like, kind of work on based on, you know, the conversation you had with her tonight?
For me, your journeys and your goals change along the way. That was really important for me to realize, that the first goal you set out to accomplish, it doesn't have to stay that, even if it doesn't come to fruition. It can change along the way, and it can change several times. And it doesn't mean that you're not successful. It just means that you have listened to yourself and grown, and now you have a new goal.
I liked just her openness to opportunity and her excitement by seeing new doors. And I like this new idea of like a video game, and you don't want to win the video game. You want to keep exploring, and you want to continue to open new doors and continue to ask questions and work with new people. And how fortunate we are now to be in our 30s and know younger artists and watch younger people kind of growing into themselves. And even as a stepmom, like, the idea of inspiring them, like, you don't have to have it all figured out, and there are multiple journeys and paths that you can take. It's not just one, and they can lead you to beautiful places that you don't even know is right around the corner. And just a quick reminder, guys, that we are going weekly. So stay tuned. Next week, we have a whole new episode just in time for Valentine's Day.
We have a really juicy guest on, Brittany Louise Taylor. You guys might know her from YouTube or her book, A Sucky Love Story. She essentially got engaged to a con artist. It's an insane story. We can't wait to share it with you. So make sure you tune in a week from today. This podcast is brought to you by Smilf, returning to Showtime with all new episodes starting January 20th. Bridget Bird is redefining what it means to be young, single, and a mom.
Raw, honest, and relatable, Smilf stars Frankie Shaw, Rosie O'Donnell, and Connie Britton, only on Showtime. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer and director Jack Ferry.
Producer and editor Melissa DeMonts.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Logo design by Natalia Vasquez.
And music by Joe King.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.